days till the Chag HaSmicha. We have a tradition before the Chag HaSmicha to speak a little bit about the rabbinate and where all of you can fit in. The Shusta Rosh Yeshiva. I understand that Rabbi Leibowitz was pretty tough on you last week. I'll admit it, I kind of put him up to that. But I am very glad that many of you have asked to meet with him to follow up. I'm not a bold man like Rabbi Leibowitz. You know me. I'm quiet. Try not to speak publicly. And I don't like to push. So I won't push you tonight, even 4 days before the Chag HaSmicha, to go into Avodas HaKodesh. You can be relieved. I'm not going to push you tonight to go into Avodas HaKodesh specifically. I have a much simpler ask. To do something, anything, great and meaningful with your lives. Maybe not. At least to try to do something great and meaningful with your lives. Or at least to strive, to wish, to dream, to do something significant, lasting, far-reaching for Klal Yisrael, for the Ribono Shel, to increase Kvod Shemayim in a godless world. After all, Rabbi Leibowitz admitted last week that Avodas HaKodesh is not for everyone. Many will not be very good at being a rabbi or a teacher. We have enough ineffective rabbis and teachers. You've all encountered them along the way. But accomplishing something significant in life, and we all have only one life, at least as far as most hold. Is that just for a select few? Doing something great in the one life you have? Is that just for a few people? Could it possibly be that anyone in this room has already, in his late teens or early 20s, given up on doing something great or something really significant? Entering Avodas HaKodesh is one way to put yourself on the path for greatness. But first, before deciding how to make a difference, one needs to recapture the yearning, the hope, the obligation to find and to carry out your tafkid in bringing Kvod Shemayim to this world. You don't need to have an inflated ego to want to make a significant contribution. You might not want to go around telling everyone you're going to make a significant contribution. But you should most certainly strive towards it. In fact, if you dismiss the idea outright, and you somehow feel that you're here for something else than to help the Ribono Shel Olam by making a significant contribution to the world, that may be your ego talking. Rabbosai, Jewish history is made in every one of the parshios of Sefer Bereishis. In some cases, it plays out in a long story. Sometimes, however, history is made in one sentence or one word. It's easy to mistake the story of Avraham, Yitzchak, Eliezer, Rivka, Bisuel, Lavan for a very long story with many twists and turns. But it all comes down to one word uttered by a young child that sets the story of our people in motion. Eilech. I will go, says Rivka. The English does not do it justice. Its brevity, its impact. The mission of Eliezer is spelled out in so many psukim, and it is so clearly guided by the hand of Hashem that you might miss that the whole thing almost went south. Eliezer has kvitzas saderech. He utters a tefillah, and there she is. Unbelievable. She offers water and lodging. Everything's going so well. He makes his pitch to the family. The family says, okay. Vayan lovanu b'suel vayomru me'Hashem yatzah adavar. It all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Vayan Lavan u'Besuel? Lavan and Besuel said, Mehashem yatsa adover? This is impossibly good. Hinei Rivka lefanecha, kach v'leif.
Go!
Eliezer bows to Hashem because this is too good to be true. And it was too good to be true because the next morning everything has changed.
Vayomer achia ve'ima, teishev hana'ara itanu yamimo asor. Wait a minute.
Getting a little cold feet. Maybe she should stick around a year or 10 months. We notice that Besuel is not there anymore. Chazal, of course, tell us in the Medrash that Besuel wanted to nix the whole thing and it was killed overnight. In fact, a different Medrash tells us that he had placed poison in front of Eliezer. And the two plates, is like a movie, the two plates got switched and Besuel got the poison. It wasn't so simple. And they try to stall. But it looks like they have no other way to stop the ship. Vayomru nikra l'na'ara v'nishala et pi. They pull the last thing that for sure will stop a 3 or a 14-year-old girl from leaving her house with a total stranger. Let's ask her what she thinks. They call her. Nikra l'na'ara. She hasn't even been there. They call her in for the discussions for the first time. And they say, are you going to go? This girl who just lost her father. Will you pick up and go with this stranger? Will you marry a man whose name isn't even mentioned? Yitzchak's name isn't even mentioned to her. She has no idea who this person is. This is for sure going to work. What nutty person would say, I'm going to leave with this guy I met a few hours ago? But she says, Eilech. Not even a yes, more than a yes. As Rashi tells us, V'afim einchem rotzim. And even if you don't want me to, I am going. Eilech. How does she do this? Many of you will spend weeks and months trying to figure out if you're going to marry that girl. In one moment, this little kid knows that she's going to leave with a total stranger and marry someone whose name she doesn't even know. The Seder Olam Rabba says that it was just an act of faith. Incredible faith. In fact, Klal Yisrael would get out of Mitzrayim years later because of the faith of this little girl. Others say, she must have had Ruach Kodesh, some sort of Nevuah. What kind of kid would leave? Doesn't make any sense at all. Who would leave it? A total stranger. But I want to suggest a simpler pshat. Please listen close. Because I think in addition to any Ruach HaKodesh she may have had, and any emunah that of course she had, Rivka Imenu, she had a sense that nothing would become of her if she stayed in Arad. Ein Safik, Motzi Midei Vada. This was a chance, an opportunity, a dream to be something more, to be part of something larger than herself, to leave Aram and to join a nascent movement to change the world. Was this her role? Was this her place? Her tafkid? Seriously? She would continue to struggle. Would the sister of Lavan, with the daughter of Besuel, what is she doing in Yitzchak's house? Why me? But she understood that we're in this world to accomplish something, to go, to take a chance to be great. Eilech, I will go. That's what our grandmother said. I will go. I will take a chance to look back at our lives and say, I accomplished something. I left my mark. I partnered with Hashem. I don't know how many of you have gotten to see the new book about Meir Shuster, the Rav who tapped thousands of people on the shoulder
at the Kotel, asking them if they wanted to go for a meal or go to a yeshiva. I watched a video of that was made on his fifth Yahrzeit, where somebody kept asking him, it was in a video that had been taken when he was still alive, how many people do you think that you got to go to yeshiva? How many people do you think you reached? I don't know. You don't know what happened. And they pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. He said, about 5,000. But what was so amazing about it was that people on the video, one after another, and if you read this book, one after another, people say, people who loved him, people whose whole lives were changed by him, say he had absolutely no charisma whatsoever. He had no appeal, except for the fact that he decided that he was going to do this. I mean, to have people talk about a person who's a shtickle gadol and say straight to the camera, he had no charisma. He had nothing going for him. He wasn't good at talking to people. He's the last person I ever would have imagined. But he said, Eilech. He said, I'm going to do this. And he tapped tens of thousands of people on the shoulder. Rabosai, what made Rivka the first shidduch in history? How did she earn her place as one of the imams? Chesed? Eliezer looks for chesed. Avram says nothing about chesed. What does he want? Lech lecho. He tells Eliezer, I want you to go back to my land. What does Avram ask? Avram asks to go and ask a girl to do what he and Sarah had done. To travel from Aram to Canaan without knowing exactly where they were going or why. That sound familiar? He needs a girl who's going to make the same journey that he made. The same spirit. That's what he was looking for. Eliezer looked for the chesed. Eliezer was the one who looked for that. Avram said one thing. I want a girl who's going to say Eilech. The same willingness to sacrifice, to journey outside of their comfort zone and follow the path of Hashem. Eilech. Rivka saw an opportunity. Avram wanted someone who would seize it. You tell me, you don't say Eilech on a whim. You say Eilech when you've already realized that there has to be something more. That there's something here I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to accomplish. Life is so busy and I'm so embedded in my surroundings, my everyday life. But there's something inside of me that says, I'm here to do something. I'm here to accomplish something. I want to be able to look back at my life. I want to make decisions now that I'll be able to look back at my life and say, I made a serious accomplishment. I partner with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's a person who can say Eilech. We don't always know when the opportunity is coming or what it is, but are we ready to say yes? Let it not be said that Rabbi Penner pushed you to consider a career in teaching. That's what I have written down. In Rabbanus or in Outreach. Chas v'shalom. That is not my job tonight. If you want that, listen to Rabbi Leibowitz's speech last week. Talk to Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm not here to tell you to go into Avodas HaKadosh. It's because I don't know you well enough. When I do get to know you, I'll probably tell you to go into one of those things. But I don't know you well enough, and I'm not here tonight to tell you to consider to be a rabbi or a teacher. But I am asking you tonight, to be ready. I'm not asking you to consider Avodas HaKodesh. I'm not even asking you to do anything, just to be ready. Not even to have the tough conversation that Rabbi Leibowitz spoke about last week with anybody except yourself. You'll figure out how you're going to make your mark. Okay. It may not be clear yet what your path will be. But are you ready to say Eilech? Are you looking for a way to be great? What am I here for? Do I want to live an ordinary life or an extraordinary life? Most people are supposed to live an ordinary life. It's really not an ordinary life if you're doing Torah and mitzvahs. But I believe that everyone has to dream, to yearn, to live an extraordinary life, because we only have one, probably. There are extraordinary people in many fields. I'm not telling you to become a teacher. There are extraordinary people in many fields, in medicine, in science, in research, in mental health, in politics, in law. There are extraordinary people who have very ordinary jobs, who start organizations, who work tirelessly for causes, who fund yeshivas and projects, who move to Eretz Yisrael, who donate kidneys. I don't care what you do, but do something. Do something that you'll look back and you'll say, I lived an extraordinary life. I left something here. There are people who make an exceptional Kiddush Hashem. How are you going to leave your mark? And then there's Avodas HaKodesh. I know I promised I wouldn't speak about that, but just a minute about that. Let me tell you why I'm here. Rabbi Leibowitz told you his story. Mine is a much simpler story than Rabbi Leibowitz's. I went into the rabbinate for one reason. One reason I went into the rabbinate. Because I grew up in Fairlawn and watched Rabbi Benjamin and Chevy Yudin live an extraordinary life, which they are still giving to so many people. And I grew up as a kid watching this extraordinary couple, which led me to one conclusion. I want to do something extraordinary. I'm not going to live up to what they do. They told me and my wife before we got married, don't do what we do. Don't have 80 people for Shabbos lunch. That's not normal. But I looked at this couple and I said, I want to do something. They're doing something special. And if you go into the rabbinate, I didn't tell you, but if you do go into the rabbinate, I'll tell you, you're going to do something extraordinary. I made a very simple cheshbon that if I tried to do what they did, if I became a shul rabbi, it has to be for you. But I saw it was something I could do. I could live an extraordinary life. Not everybody's going to be Rabbi Yudin or Chevy Yudin. I don't think anybody is. But take an ordinary job in Avodas HaKodesh. Let's say you're a fifth grade teacher. Not even a great teacher. You're a fifth grade teacher and you do your time and you start working when you're 25 and you retire when you're 65. And you're just an ordinary fifth grade teacher. You taught 1,000 neshamos. In 40 years, you taught 1,000 neshamos, and that was your job. You decided to go into a career that made sure you were going to live an extraordinary life and leave an extraordinary legacy of 1,000 people that you taught, of 1,000 families that are touched. You see, there are no ordinary teachers or rabbis, because that's a path that nearly guarantees a life of purpose and meaning. I went into the rabbinate for very, very selfish reasons. Because I saw people who lived a life of meaning by choosing this profession. And I wanted the same. And we need you. We need shuls. We need kolim. We need day schools across the country. But it doesn't have to be the rabbi. But I'm begging you. Because we look at what's going on across the country and we look at the openings and we look at the lack of leadership at every single level in shuls and schools, not just as professionals, not just as rabbis. Whatever you do, we need you to do something. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us so much to do.
Our Hashkafas Olam, espoused by Rabbi Soloveitchik and our Rosh Yeshiva, Yibavu Chaim, has so much to offer. But we are a small community. We don't have thousands of guys sitting learning in Kolo waiting for jobs and teaching. We need everybody here to play some sort of a role. Think hard about what you're going to do as a profession. Seriously, don't become a rabbi. Not for you. Look at your skills. Talk to Rabbi Leibowitz. Decide if that's what you're going to do. I'm actually not telling you tonight to go into the rabbi. But don't fall into a profession without meaning. Think long and hard about what you're going to do. For most of your day, for most of your week, for most of your year, for most of your life. Sometimes I'm talking to guys about what they want to do with their life. I feel like they spend more time picking out an esrog than they do picking out a profession. This is most of your life, what you're going to do. I'm not here tonight to tell you to go into a Bodhis HaKodesh. I'm telling you to find a career and find a path and find ways to really, really make a difference in the world, in the Jewish community. It's true, Rashi had a vineyard. Most of us find it very hard to make serious contributions outside of our place of work because it's hard to balance. We have to bring up a family, Baruch Hashem. We're commanded to try to do that. It takes time. It's hard to do more than our jobs. Try to find something that's a tafkid as well as a source of income. Find a profession with a heart, with meaning, and with purpose. And most of all, keep dreaming. Keep searching. You are so young, and you can accomplish so much. There's no base medrash like the one before us. And together, we can continue what Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka started. But it will only happen if you continue to dream. And if every one of you are ready to say, Eileh.